How many of you like these sort of meetings? They're different, aren't they? Beats that stuffy old local church atmosphere, doesn't it? This is church. You might say, how do you know? Because I've for 28 years I've been a pastor at every church, everyone that I started and grew to hundreds very quickly, all were like this every week. But it was good because I was in control because I was the pastor, I was the leader, and what I felt in God went. And that was it. And I've got that freedom here too. I didn't mean that. But I'm just saying it was so easy every week. Did you have a normal meeting? I tried to make Sunday mornings normal. This is my definition of normal. I used to sit on a stool behind the pulpit so I wouldn't get too excited when I was preaching. And I used to try and teach. Then someone in the audience about half an hour into it would say, oh, would you shut up, Smithy, and just get on with the power of God. That's why we've joined this church. We don't want another rubbishy sermon from you. That's what people used to say. So I used to say, oh, darn it, throw my notes away. Line everybody up and the whole place would be laughing and full of joy. And that was church. That's what they loved. And we had a full-time Bible school with 50 people in it. Church planting school, everything. And it was a pretty well-organized, crazy church. Three or four of them. Yeah, it was great fun. Who wants a normal church, for God's sake? Like Vaughan was saying, you got thousands of them. How many did you say, Protestant churches? 375,000 boring, dead churches. I love the church, but I love the church the way God designed it in the book of Acts. But brother, we've matured. No, we haven't. We should have grown from the book of Acts. It should have been more radical. Church has gone dead. And he uses knuckleheads like me to bring that revival spirit back in the place. And most people love it. The religious Christian hates it. We're leaving this church because we don't like Brother Vaughan. He's too rough on us. If you're listening by webcam, some of you chickens who've left this revival for that, listen, I'll tell you now, don't blame Vaughan. Don't hide behind him, you little ferrets. It's because you didn't like the revival and you didn't want to change. You didn't like Jesus being in your face and you hide behind some wimpy little pastor thing. Hey, I'm very gentle with people I need to be gentle to. But some people just need a good old five-fold ministry sandwich. Boom. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Bam. I'm half kidding. So I've been a church leader for many years, so I'm not one of these wild people who come and wreck churches and move on to the next place. I've built and established all my life, my ministry life, 30 years, 28 years full time. And all I know is this stuff works. I get sometimes tired of laying hands on people and think, oh my God. So I've got to fly down to Rodney or I've got to get DVDs and other revivalists so I can be refreshed. Because moving in this realm all the time, I think, what's the point of it? Empty, laying hands and people are falling down. But when I hear of people's lives changing and hungering for God, and when I see what's happening in people's lives, I'm telling you, that's all I care about. It's worth it all. I realize now how I came to Jesus Christ was falling under the power of God. And I was brought up in a church that didn't believe in that, or dancing, or shouting, or clapping. It was all extreme emotionalism. I hit the deck, bang. Prayer life goes from 5 minutes to 3 hours a day. Then another man of God came through. 3 months later, laid hands on me, bang, down I went again. And my prayer life went to 5 hours a day for years. Then 13 hours a day. Then I got so hungry for God, I only used to sleep 6 nights a week and spend every Thursday in prayer until I wrecked my body. Absolutely, I just wrecked my body. My doctor told me I had the insides of a 70-year-old man when I was 21. That's ridiculous. So anyway, I'm okay now. Little Jeremy, what do you keep holding your mouth for? Is that tooth hurting? Where's my helpers? Just lift your hands. There it is, the power of God. I pick on young men, that stupid moth. Get out of here. Not person, there's a moth. Can't stand the jolly things. La, 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 la. crazy, man. Actually, it's good. What are you thinking? It's pretty crazy in here, isn't it? You'd pay $50 to have a show like this in the world. Apart from a free will offering, it's free. La 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 la. Anyway, Genesis 26, don't worry, I'm not going to preach really. Just share a couple of little thoughts. Genesis 26, I want to talk about what is the purpose of revival? What is the purpose of it? In verse 12 of Genesis 26, it says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. And the man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped them up, filling them with earth. I'm going to talk about, you know, purpose of revival is to build the river of God in an open, free, flourishing, plenteous place. Not some tight, rigid thing. I'll explain that in a minute. But getting up to this point is Isaac. And if you read this story, this whole chapter, you'll find it was a time of a severe famine where no farmer could produce crops because there was a famine, because there's no rain. And here is Isaac, comes to that exact region with all these other farmers all over the place, all going broke, all their crops failed because there was no rain. And he goes and plants a crop in that very same area, and in that same year reaped 100-fold in a time of famine. How is that possible? Because God looks after his own people in times of recession, depression, and famine. Doesn't affect the church at all. They say, your nation's in a recession. What a joke. You know, going through a few hard times, so what? But it wouldn't matter if this nation went into a depression, that should not affect the tithes and offerings or the prosperity of God's people. Because we don't serve this kingdom, we serve the kingdom of God. And in fact, the places we work, they get blessed because of us. Now, we are the seed of Abraham. Isaac was one of Abraham's direct lineage, his son. And we are the seed of Abraham through Jesus Christ, which means the same, listen to this, the same blessings that are on Abraham are on us. Now, it's a matter of approaching it by faith. He didn't get 100% return. He got 100-fold in a time of famine because God blessed him. God will bless you in your business even more so when everyone else is going broke and going through hard times. You prosper and succeed. If you're not, it's because you're under the poverty system of the world. And you probably start to need giving more to your local church. You probably start to need, and I can say this now, putting a few more bucks into my ministry and stop being so stingy. If that's the case. How do you get out of debt? You give yourself out of it. How do you get into this law of prosperity? By giving and sowing. No other way, friends. Absolutely no other way. And anyhow, the Philistines come in. Who are the Philistines? That represents the devil, the enemy. He will do everything he can to try and stop and plug up the blessing of God in your life. He'll give it his best shot. Ephesians chapter 6 says he'll throw his fiery darts at you. He will intimidate you. The thief will come in John chapter 10 verse 10 to steal, kill and destroy from your life. But Jesus has come that you might live life to the fullest and live it abundantly. But he will always try. He came against Isaac. He came against his father Abraham. The enemy did. And they stopped up the wells, which was symbolic of the river of God, the river of life, the anointing. Trying to stop it up everywhere. But you cannot stop the blessing of God if you live by faith and move forward by faith. It's impossible. And it goes on to say in verse 17, Abimelech, verse 16, then Abimelech said to Isaac, move away from us, you become too powerful for us. That's like the local pastors in this town saying to Vaughan, please move away from us. The revival you're having at church is too big. It's too powerful for us. Move away. It's the same sort of thing. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gihah and settled there. And Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave him the same names his father had given them. So Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water. Listen, I'm telling you something. Our spiritual fathers in this nation have dug huge wells in the spirit. And revivals like this one are called to redig those wells. Redig the well of Charles Finney's anointing that could go into a city and he'd go in the fields and he'd send an intercessor before him to pray for 2 weeks. And he would join him a week before he started his meetings and they would pray out in the woods and then he would come into the city and pack out auditoriums everywhere. People would be drinking in their public bars and they would have this urge all of a sudden, unsaved people, to go to the church down the road where he was preaching. Powerful, powerful man of God. We need to redig the wells of Charles Finney and believe for that anointing where the sinners get saved. And when you come back, he gets to come back 8 years later with no follow-up and 80% of his converts were still going on for Christ 8 to 10 years later. I believe in follow-up, but I believe if people really get radically saved, they'll be chasing you. You won't have to chase them because they'll be so hungry for the word. I'm telling you, we've got a belief for this. What about the re-digging of the wells that all the greats have had? What about Amy Simple McPherson, a great evangelist and power ministry and healing revivals in the early 1900s? She's the one that produced and founded the Four Square movement. Jesus the Savior, the baptizer, healer, and king. Four Square is a very powerful movement today. But she was a woman of the Holy Ghost and fire. She raised people from the dead. She raised people up who were crippled. She opened up the eyes of the blind. She's the only woman who packed out the Los Angeles temple and she had a church membership of 10,000 in a day where you're lucky to get 100 in your church. And one day, a great woman of God went to preach in this big auditorium that seated 3,000. There's only about 80 people there. So she didn't get disillusioned. She just said, "I'm not preaching to you lot. There's not enough." She grabs the fold-up chair and runs out the building. So the congregation is just sitting there thinking, well, let's see where she's going. So they all chased her. She ran down to the town center, the town hall. She puts her fold-up chair like this, stands on it in the middle of the town square and goes like this for 20 minutes. No one was there. 20 minutes later, she opened her eyes. She had thousands of people all around her, wondering what the heck this woman was on a chair in the middle of the town hall. And this is what she did. She got off the chair and said, "Follow me," and ran back to the town hall. And all those thousands of people followed her. And she got up to preach, and there's 3,000 people sitting there. That's a true fact. And thousands of them got saved that night. Unusual ministries. But we can redig the wells because those mantles, those anointings are still in your nation. They're not just has-beens. Catherine Kuhlman, you ever heard about her? Powerful woman of God, unusual, but incredibly powerful. Great signs and wonders ministry. That's where the great Benny Hinn got his mantle from. No doubt about it, he's very much like her. Doesn't wear the same dress, of course, because he's a man. No doubt about it, he's very, very similar. I think he's moved on a lot further, actually, in the healing power of God. But very similar, been touched. But that mantle is available. And I honestly believe it. In this revival, God wants a mixture of every revival. He wants the Toronto blessing, where everyone's hoeing and haying and falling under the power of God laughing. He wants the Pensacola thing, where everybody's shaking and their heads are falling off. But he wants the healing revival through the Benny Hinn's and the Oral Roberts. He wants a mixture of everything. So people are coming, wondering what the heck's going to happen. All they know is God's going to show up. People are going out seeing. People are going out refreshed and blessed. Not just one anointing. Mixture of every different anointing. We've got to unstop the wells. How do you do it? By faith. And the things that the enemy has taken away from us, we claim them back with force. Kingdom of God suffers violent, friends, and the violent take it by force. So Isaac dug a well in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herds and men and said, "The water is ours." How often do you get that when you come to a town to start revival? Some knucklehead pastor, "I've got the fire on my hands, the water is mine." Been having revival here for years. Oh, yeah, well, how come no one's heard about it? Well, it is insecure men. It's ridiculous. Isaac's servants dug well, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac. The well is ours. So Isaac named the well Esek, and Esek means contention. It means strife. It means quarreling. He named the well Esek because they disputed with him, but he moved on from there. He was not going to dwell with contention, even though he unstopped the well that his father had dug. The herdsmen of Gerar said, hey, we want it. It's ours. This is our revival. This is our water. Yeah, sure. That Isaac's guys just dug it all up and got it all flowing again, the water. And that's what happens. People who fight over a revival. People who say, this city's mine. Some knucklehead left a message on my answering machine a couple of weeks ago. He says, you get rid of your proud, arrogant way, Steve, or I command you to get out of my city. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry or go and smack his head right in. I thought, what arrogance? He called me arrogant. What's he talking about? I'm the most humblest man you'll ever meet. And I've got a book, Humility and How I Obtained It. Oh dear, people are funny. The reality is because I didn't give him exposure. He thought he was an evangelist with a worldwide ministry. He says, you change or get out of my city. I thought, sure, man, I'm going to pack my bags and go now. You're scaring the hell out of me. Some people, you got to know when to love and you got to know when to ignore and you got to know when to give someone a serious headbutt. It's one of those three. No, you just move on. You don't dwell with contention. You don't dwell with strife and quarreling. You just move on. And so they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. He gets there, and there's another group of people who didn't mind the well, he didn't mind the river, but they wanted control of it. That's what it basically was. That word, so he dug another well, he named it Sitna. Now that word Sitna, it means hatred, to oppose somebody with hatred. How could you believe that over a water of life, there was hatred there because they were fighting over it? It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. And Isaac thought to himself and said to himself, I ain't going to dwell with quarreling and contention. I'm not going to dwell with opposition. I'm not going to dwell with hatred. What I'm going to do is just simply move on. That's exactly what he did. So he moves on from there and he digs another well. And in this well, now listen, these were all his father's wells that he was redigging. But even though it was his father's wells, he wanted to honor his father. And we need to honor our fathers in the faith and dig up the wells and get those anointings flowing in this revival. But I'm telling you, if there's contention, let people have it. Move on. What are we going to move on to? It says he moved to another place and no one quarreled there. So he named the place Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. That word Rehoboth means plenty of room. And that's what God wants to bring this revival in, to plenty of room in the Spirit. Plenty of room so we can grow in our gifts and ministries without some crabs all around us. As we're trying to get out the bucket, they're pulling us down and reminding us of our past and reminding us of our failures and reminding us what we can't do and reminding us what we didn't do. Put all that aside. We've got to forget what lies behind. Look forward to Jesus, who's at the other end of time, looking back at our future, saying, this is the way, walk in it, and fix your eyes on getting involved in this revival, whether it's through being a servant. Stephen, I thought that Vaughan gave a brilliant illustration of Stephen's ministry at the School of the Spirit on Saturday. Stephen was a man who had great signs and wonders and miracles, but he wasn't a recognized evangelist. He was a deacon who waited on the tables and in his spare time went out and preached the gospels and great grace and great powers upon him. But when he was back in his home church until he got stoned to death, he used to serve. You can be a deacon, in other words, someone who's a helper, serving others and have this great and powerful ministry. Problem is with some people who serve, as soon as they get a touch of the glory of God in their life, they think they don't have to go back to serving. I've served men of God all my life until God started giving me my own ministry, and I'd still serve people now. I got no problem with that. Serving God, they're just having a good time. That's all right. I'm used to people cackling on while I preach. Doesn't bother me. It's no good for tape ministry. All you hear is a bunch of cows mooing. And but God wants to bring this revival into a room of plenteous place, of flourishing, where your lives are flourishing, where your lives are blessed. And you hang in with this revival, and I'm telling you, we are just about to hit the next level of thousands of people coming into the kingdom of God, of hundreds of people being released in ministry, of missions teams going all over the world, of churches being planted everywhere, and you're going to be a part of it, along with hundreds of others who aren't even here yet. It's going to happen, because God is going to bring us into a room of plenty. Rehoboth, plenty. That's a fact. And we will flourish in the land. Then they dug one more well. Isaac built an altar there in verse 25 and called the name of the Lord, or called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched a tent, and there his servants dug another well. And down to verse 32, that day Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We found water. It's called Sheba." I think that's how you say it. And to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. Now that word Sheba, where they dug another well, means an oath or seven. Beersheba means, or can mean, the well of oath or the well of seven. In other words, it's a well that had seven wells attached to it. Seven. Number of perfection. What I'm saying is, so as he moved, friends, as he moved to a well of plenty and flourishing, next thing God did was caused his servants to find another well and dug it up. And it had seven, number of perfection. I'm telling you, when you allow your spirit and life to get attached to something that comes into plenty of room, where contention and hatred and opposition goes out the window, when you allow God to bring you into that and drop how you figure it's all going to happen and just flow, go with the flow of what God is doing, I'm telling you, we begin to come into perfection in the sense of God really begins to speak to us. We come into a kingly anointing where God speaks to us and we obey immediately. Where all of a sudden, have you had dreams in your heart and they're just not happening? Then all of a sudden it starts to happen. It's because you came to the right place at the right time. It's got nothing to do with Vaughan. It's got nothing to do with me. We just happen to be the vessels leading this thing. I'm telling you, it's to do with God's design. We have collided with our God-given destiny here in Kingston. And we're going to soon, we'll be changing the name. We've got to discuss it further to something like the King's Fire. Because this King's Fire is going to go all over planet Earth. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to take a bit of fasting and prayer. I'm meeting here from Tuesdays to Fridays, from 6 in the morning till 8. Something God's told me to do. I'm not telling you, he's told me you've got to come, but you're welcome to join me. Don't come and talk to me and talk about your visions all day. I'm coming here to seek God and talk to me before or after. But in those 2 hours, we've got to seek God. If you want to come, you're more than welcome. If you don't, I won't be disappointed. I really won't. Because I know as I obey God, what he's told me will happen. But if you want to come and support, if you're able to, sometimes you can't. It's too early in the morning for some of you. Some of you, you're going to work at that time. That's fair enough. If you can, not Mondays, Tuesdays to Fridays, 6 till 8 a.m. in the morning. And then Friday nights, we usually finish the meetings about 10. I'm just going to be seeking God here from 10 till 12. So if you want to chat, just leave this auditorium and you can go downstairs and do that. Those who want to, you don't have to again. Seeking God. What are we seeking God for? Revival for the next level. Outreach. Hurry up and move here for God's sake, will you? I'm serious. Well, you better. And if we can help, ask us. No, I pick on him because he's an evangelist. They know how to. You got to be rough with these evangelists. Not rough, just he's going to head up all the street teams. And he's going to be responsible for a lot of this happening in souls coming into this place. I'm telling you, I know it. Because he's got a street evangelistic call on his life. It's just my way of saying we need you, man. That's what it is. In other words, get your butt over here or drop down and give me 20 now. No, I'm kidding. That's the spirit of Vaughan to get away with that. Oh, it's so funny when Vaughan does that. Drop down and give me 20.
That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.